Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Do you lie? Let's be honest. We all do. Come on. We're all telling lies. All of the time. I was reading a really interesting piece in Time magazine about this recently, because so many of us, like, we're all told from such a young age as children, you don't lie, never tell a lie. But in this piece in Time magazine, they were talking about the fact that researchers believe there's a lot that we're getting wrong about dishonesty. Instead, they're actually telling us that we should now teach children, teach students and teach employees when and how to lie. That it's something that we should embrace. Mary McCarthy, columnist with the Irish Independent, is with me on the line today. Mary, I know that you definitely tell an odd lie.
Hi, Andrea. I do. You know, every year my New Year's resolution is to become a completely honest... Well, no, not like the honest type of person who's going to be mean honest, you know.
Yeah.
Tell people. Yeah, you don't want to be mean honest, but to be honest with myself as well, you know. Honest with everyone, just be more straight and direct. And I do, like, sometimes I do lie and I do really kick myself. I do think sometimes it's useful, right? Sometimes it's best to leave the truth behind. You know, if your brother-in-law gets a hair transplant and he asks you, what do you reckon? I mean, you're not going to turn around and say,
it's desperate.
It's desperate. You know, yeah. Like, it's there. It's not going anywhere. So I think I do agree with that Time magazine premise that you do need to know when to lie, when not to lie. And I would say, you lie when you're going to protect someone and it's not actually going to have consequences. You know, like, it's not going to be an ongoing situation.
Yeah.
But for instance, Andrea, listen, I have to tell you a true story. My father is the ultimate liar. I bought him throughout my teens. I bought him the same aftershave for nearly a decade. And he'd be like, every Christmas, oh, I've been looking forward to this all year, Mary. Love it, love it. And then he told me recently, it was Calvin Klein, whatever. He used to donate it every year. And I was actually really hurt. I was like, but why didn't you just say it? You didn't like it. Like,
yeah.
And he was like, oh, but you were so, it was a thing. Like, you know, you used to get it for me every Christmas. And I felt like that. I'm kind of hurt by that, you know.
So in this case, it would have been better to not lie and just tell you the truth. But I think that's for a lot of us, Mary, where the lies come from is that I know in my case, like the classic example for me where I will, I'm not going to say I always lie in this situation, but I often do. If I'm asked to go to something that I don't want to go to, I actually haven't got the guts to say, no, I'm not interested, Mary. I have no more interest in going to your event at the weekend. So instead, I'll make up some story about the fact that I'm doing something else or I've something else on and I can't go, to just get out of it. And I know I should just say, I don't want to go.
I know. You know what, Andre? That's kind of behind my New Year's resolution. I'm the exact same. And you know what? I think it kind of undermines trust a little bit. Like, my sister made a throwaway joke the other day saying, because I was supposed to meet her for dinner and then I actually was sick, and she was like, yeah, you know, something better came up. And I was like, no, but it's the truth. But then I realised I would sometimes cancel just because I wouldn't feel like, I just wanted to stay home. And I should have just been honest with her and said, look, I'm wrecked. I don't want to go out. I just want to stay at home. It's not that I don't want to see you. Can we have a chat instead or something? So I do think maybe be straight with people, and maybe that's the best thing for everyone, because it's kind of down the line. Like, it just creates kind of, you know, it undermines your people's trust in you.
Yeah.
If you're going to let them down then, you know.
Terry Prone, columnist with the Irish Examiner, is with us as well on the line. Terry, would you tell an odd lie?
I would tell the sort of lie that you've been discussing in order not to be mean honest.
Yeah.
And I think, Mary, that's such a great phrase. So if I was invited to a party or to a wedding in, I don't know, Budapest, and I would seriously rather be dead, I don't think it's helpful to be that honest and to say, I'd seriously rather be dead. I say, I actually can't on that particular day. Now, I don't go so far as to make up a story. And that's one of the things that we have found out about liars, is that most of the stories they make up are to protect themselves, not to protect somebody else. So when you say, I actually can't, I'm booked to do, I don't know, the Oscars on that particular day.
Chance to be a fine thing.
You know, but you feel better as a result. Whereas we don't actually need most of the time to come up with an alternative. All we need to do is say, no, I'm sorry, can't do that.
Simple as that. But that is hard to do. And I don't know why a lot of us find that so hard to do, to just say no, full stop, without putting in the qualification at the end.
Well, this comes back to Aesop. Do you remember the fable about the little boy who cried wolf?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Now, the thing about the little boy that often gets missed is the first time he cried wolf, there was a wolf. And everybody said to the little boy, oh, my God, you saved the whole, all the lives of everybody. You are fantastic. You're brilliant. And so he wanted to retrieve that wonderful feeling. And he cried wolf when there wasn't a wolf. It all comes back to how we feel about ourselves. And one of the interesting pieces of research in this area is that the key reason most people switch GPs is weight, right? Because the patient believes and tells themselves that they're, what, 60 kilos? And the doctor says, well, you have a problem. You're way up in the 70s for your height. That's not good. And people cannot stand that amount of truth. They lie to themselves about how they look and feel, and they sure as hell don't want a GP. Yeah, so they move.
And that is a reason that people move doctor, Terry.
That is an absolute reason.
There you go.
They just do not want the truth told to them.
Corinne is on the line with us too. 1800 453 106. That's the number if you want to join us. Corinne, where's the white line, or where's the cut off, I suppose, if you are going to tell a little white lie?
Well, I think we all kind of know what the cut off is. White lie, that's what it is. It's called a white lie for a reason. To protect somebody, to not hurt their feelings. I mean, if somebody gets their hair cut and you think it looks horrendous, like your woman was saying, you're not going to say it looks horrendous. Like she said, you can't undo it. Just say, yes, you look fabulous. I mean, those kind of little white lies, why tell them the truth? It would serve zero purpose. I think a lot of little white lies, I probably tell them all the time. Great to see you, when I really was hoping I wouldn't run into you.
That's such a common one, isn't it?
It really is. Oh, it's great to see you. How have you been? What have you been up to? And the whole time you're thinking, oh, God, why did I run into her today?
Yeah. Why did I look up at that point?
But I mean, what are you going to say? I think white lies are grand. Perfect. Now, when you talk about lying, there was a lady living next door to us, and I'm telling you, the truth could not come out of her mouth. She had so many lies that, I mean, she was known around the neighborhood as nobody knows what's really going on. That's a whole psychological thing that I wouldn't even attempt to get into.
Right.
But yeah, and we have this friend, my husband's best friend, rest in peace. He used to lie to his wife all the time. Like, she's like, where are you? I've got your dinner ready. And he'd say, sure, I'm just around the corner. I'll be there in a minute. And of course, he's 2 hours away. So he'd have to continue that lie for 2 hours because she'd be calling him back and saying, where are you now? Sorry, I ran into some traffic. And this would go on and on. Instead of just telling her the truth at first, I'm 2 hours away, sorry. He just kept, he was hilarious, really, He would get himself in such a pickle. Little white lies are okay.
The other place, or the other time, I suppose, Mary, that a lot of us might often tell the odd white lie, I imagine it's either on CVs or in a job interview.
The amount of corporate lying, Andrea, and even on LinkedIn, a friend of mine, he's in a law firm, and I was saying, oh, you've a really kind of erudite LinkedIn post there about... I won't say what politician visited, but a politician visited there last week. And I was like, that was really well written. And your man's clever, but he wouldn't be the most kind of righty type person. And he was like, oh, sure, I didn't even post that. That's the marketing department. And I was like, but it was all about how you felt and la, la, la. And he was like, I wasn't even there that day. They just posted it up. So it's a pack of lies, essentially. And I just think it's gotten to the point where people just take it with a pinch of salt. And even in interviews, everyone lies. You lie in your CV, and the only way to kind of to get a sense of you is to get you to do all those tests and then get you into the interview, or else get. But even a reference, there's a thing called a hospital pass. Have you heard that, Andrea?
No.
Where let's say you have a researcher working for you, and maybe he's not very, I don't know, you don't get on or whatever. Anyway, someone asks you in Today FM, oh, do you know any good researchers? And you say, yeah, this guy, Michael, is brilliant, he's great. And you kind of get him off your team, and he goes up then to Today FM. So that's called a hospital pass. So you don't actually give a good reference. And that goes on as well.
You pass the person around.
You kind of pan them around, yeah. And I agree with Terry for part of her tips, but I do think now, Terry, we're just Irish, or people, we're not that abrupt. We couldn't just say, No, I can't make it for a coffee today and leave it at that. I think Andrea is right. We need the qualifier. And like, I remember I tried to set up a WhatsApp for the girls I was in school with. And one of the girls got back and said, no, I won't be joining that WhatsApp. And that was it. And I was just like...
Did she, Mary? She just said, I'm not going to join the group.
She said, oh, hi, Mary. Great to hear from you after so long. I won't be joining that group. And that's it. Full stop. And I swear, it was like I'd been smacked in the face. I was into my husband straight away. Look what I've been sent. And he was just like, well, she doesn't want to join. Let's leave it like. But I actually was really hurt at that. And anyone I said it to was also agreed with me.
I know, but sure, even we're surprised because it's we haven't. I think it comes back to the ability again about not being able often to say no. Terry, you must see that all the time in your line of work. People just embellishing their qualifications and experience when it comes to trying to get a job.
Absolutely. And when I am training HR people, the people who are actually interviewing those liars, I have to train them to spot lying. And this is a curious thing, Andrea. Everybody believes they're good at spotting liars, and nobody is actually good at it. Even the FBI in the States, when they were tested, they were convinced that they could spot a liar a mile off. But in fact, what they were spotting were the symptoms of stress. In other words, when people were in a stressful situation, like they were going for a job that they really wanted, they would fiddle, they would fidget, they would rub their hands against each other, they'd run a finger around their collar. But none of that indicated that they were lying. It just indicated that they were stressed. But if you're in HR, if you're in recruitment, and you cannot afford to have somebody who's told you a key lie, then one of the things that we do is say, okay, get them to get to specifics. In other words, if somebody says, well, I left my last job because of a personality conflict, the next question should be, tell me the first time that that personality conflict surfaced in the workplace. Was it morning or evening? And suddenly they have to start crawling back, and people are not good at making up stuff right at short notice. And so that's how you're likely to get the truth. And sometimes you have to get the truth for the benefit of your company or your colleagues.
Jason O'Callaghan is a psychologist and clinical hypnotherapist. Jason is with us on the line today. There's got to be some psychology around lying, Jason, is there?
Yeah, Andrea, thanks for having me on again. It is completely. There's a whole, you know, when your researcher rang me, I kind of looked up the psychology books in my office and find, you know, a huge amount of stuff. And we don't put it down as lying. It doesn't come up in the books as lying, but it comes up as antisocial disorder, narcissistic disorder. You know, so the best way that all clicks into place if you just say one word, and that's Donald Trump. You know, if you just say Trump. You think about Trump, and Terry's an expert in the political field. He doesn't even think about his lies anymore. His lies it's basically his personality. He has such a issue with telling the truth for his own personal gain. And that's what some of your other contributors mentioned, the difference between psychology, we call them white lies, and black lies. Black lies are lies that are told for personal benefit. And that would be a typical example would be Donald Trump. He just lies and there's no truth to most of the stuff he says. He's only saying it to get personal benefit. Whereas white lies, which most of us would do on a day-to-day basis, as you mentioned earlier, would be basically to get out of an awkward situation or to be polite in a situation, or does my bum look big in this type of situation? And it's just easier to go, no, of course not. You know,
yeah, or, does this suit me? Or I'm thinking of changing my hair this way. Does this suit? Yeah, and it looks
easier,
awful.
Like, there's no negative side of it from us to have a little white lie. And there's a famous quote which says that a person is only truly free if they can turn down an invitation without giving an excuse. You know, that someone has that confidence in themselves that they can just go, no, I'm not, like your colleague mentioned there about the WhatsApp group. Someone is only, you know, truly free in themselves if they can actually go, no, I won't be going. And then there's no but, you know, because of this, because of that. They just go, I'm not going, I'm not joining, I'm not attending. And there's a huge amount of freedom in that, but most of us haven't got that skill set to do it.
Why is that? Is that kind of an Irish thing?
Yeah, it's a global thing. It's a global thing. It comes down to a thing called the pain or pleasure principle. Sometimes we avoid pain and we run towards pleasure. And if someone asks a simple question, or, you know, can you meet for coffee? And it's, you know, do I really want to fall out with this person? I really like them. I just don't want to do it today. Do I have a genuine excuse? Not really. I'm just not in the mood. So I'll just come up with something simple. And I think it's pretty much universal as part of our behavior. And it comes from childhood, from, you know, I presume from kids' birthday parties where parents don't want to go or whatever. And it comes through work, and it comes through being polite, and just come make it. What's the easiest path, or the path of least resistance for us? And that's, you know, being a little white lie. It's not going to do any harm, you know, to anybody involved. And it makes the other people feel fine, and it gets you out of the situation then. People just do it and it becomes automatic. And I said, the important thing to notice is there's two parts. One, that it can come from a biological factor, which is a disorder, or most of the time it comes from environmental factors. We learned from our mother. Our mother used to do that, or our social constructs used to do that. Or maybe as it gets more serious, more towards the black lies, we see it more in the fact that maybe it comes from childhood. We only got attention if we hyped up our, or we hurt our knee, but it was really bad. And then mommy gave me attention. So I can, if I lie, I get attention, and so on and so on. It all comes down to upbringing in nearly all cases.
Yeah, like, well, at least anyway, I've taken some comfort from the fact, looking at the WhatsApps today, that a majority of the Lunchtime Live listeners are very fond of telling the odd white lie, which at least we know, Mary, we're in pretty good company, because we all kind of do it. I know,
yeah,
we don't like
I mean,
to admit
I think,
it.
Yeah, I think it just oils the wheels of life, you know, although what Jason was saying there, if you're, people who are free in themselves can just say, no, Andrea, I won't be meeting you for a drink. I mean, maybe it would be, say, very freeing to be like that, but I just don't think it would ever. I just don't think it's ever going to happen for most people. But there is one area I think Irish people are really bad, and that's in restaurants. They won't say if they're unhappy.
That's so
true. And then
they'll
complain about it. Like, I'm actually in Paris at the moment, and we had lunch yesterday, and it was brutal from start to finish, but my husband would not say anything. He paid the bill, left a tip, the works, and then spent the rest of the evening like belly aching about it. And I was like, why didn't you just say, look, the service is so bad. You gave me the wrong order on that. And, you know, like, therefore, you know. But instead you go, you know, you say it was great, everything's lovely, and you give a tip. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the best part. The fact you went on to tip them then after the poor service, Mary, is absolutely brilliant.
I nearly took the 15 quid off the table.
I should put in some sort of caveat now before I'm asked again to do something at the weekend, and I do genuinely have something on, and I tell a friend that I'm not able to do it. They'll be thinking now I'm just telling lies, but I do often have busy calendars and busy weekends and busy things on, but I don't lie all of the time, but there are definitely, from time to time, we all love a little white lie. Mary McCarthy, Terry Prone, Corrine, Jason O'Callaghan, thanks a million for joining us here on the show today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.